You're listening to the We Speak Common podcast network. For more information and to support the show, head to wespeakcommon.com.
Welcome to this episode of Tavern Talk. This show is made possible by our wonderful Patreon supporters and our incredible partners at the Dice Dungeon, where you can get 10% off your entire order with code WESPEAKCOMMON at checkout, as well as our partners at Describe, where you can find crafted box sets written by professional writers. You can get 10% off your subscription when you use code COMMON at checkout. This week, Ben's back, and we're going to talk about art, DMing, and player character inspiration. Now, settle in by the fire, because this is Tavern Talk.
Talk, baby.
That was a good one. Well done, Chris.
Yeah, no, that was good.
Also, sorry, I know this is now, the start of the episode, but can we just appreciate the zinger that I just laid out on my mate who just texted me?
Oh, God.
I was just showing you, off air, I was showing you my terrarium I just bought. Mm-hmm. I, obviously, being a social media whore, I put it on. This is an explicit episode now. Yep. I put it on my story. And he messaged me and said, have you named it yet? And I said, I haven't. It's got to be something with T, you know, like Tracy the terrarium. It's not
Terry.
Tracy. Terry's good. He put... Twat, just a suggestion, and quick as fire, I put, feels weird naming it after you.
No, that was good.
Oh.
You know what, Ben? Ben,
thank you.
You know what?
Thank you. That's why I had to share it.
Well played.
Anyway, sorry. Well, welcome to the episode, everyone. I'm here again.
This is,
it's me.
This is Sam Dog. Ben's here again, ruining the episode.
This is, I just want to say, this is the second episode of recording tonight. We just recorded the... Orlo interview episode, so Ben is on drink number two without eating dinner.
Yeah,
so this should be an interesting episode.
I have a theory, and I don't know if it's gonna, I don't know if it's like scientific, but you know when you mix drinks, it's bad, right?
I mean, no, it's good, but yes.
Well, no, it's good, but it makes you drunker quicker, right? It makes you more drunk quicker. My theory is that because the two drinks that I've had tonight are both rum-based, they're just opposite alignment ends of the rum, dark to white. Okay. It should be okay. I'll just be as I'll be as drunk as I normally would be if I just drank the same drunk again. Fuck me.
Oh, okay. We're here and Ben is already drunk.
But do you want me to tell you what drink we're having?
Yes, please do, Ben. Tell the audience what we're drinking tonight.
I thought I hadn't had this before, and then Dave got really angry and told me that he made me one and that I really liked it when I was at his house last. So this is correct me if I'm wrong, a Dark and Stormy?
Correct.
I like it. I'm into it.
What are we calling it? Dark and brooding, right?
Yeah, because I'm here.
Yeah,
and
I'm
dark and brooding.
Yeah, absolutely. I've just realised something that's going to really annoy you, Ben. As we're recording on the podcast, I forgot to press record on my Audacity.
Absolute. Have you pressed record now?
I have now pressed record.
Okay, so what's going to happen is the whole start of this episode, you're going to sound really weird, and now you're going to sound better.
Great. So everyone, perfect.
So I shouldn't say that I didn't record my intro on Audacity.
Oh, we're ruining it for Ben already.
Did you actually not?
Oh, I'm just fucking with you. I just wanted to see the joy in your face.
I was so ready to throw fists. I was like, guys, come on. All of that was gold. I actually need to calm down because I keep peeking. Sorry. Ben. Someone take control. I'm not. Just let me shut up. Someone take control of this episode. It's not me.
Chris.
Oh, right. Cool.
Because Ben's talked too much last episode.
It's like last episode was focused on Ben.
It was all Ben. And I was just like, I was so dumb by the end of it. Do you know what I mean? He just thought he came on and he just took over the show.
He thinks it's like it's his network or something. Like,
I am still
he acts like he was the original.
Chris, I'm going to ask you first. How do you make your characters? What do you use as inspiration for your characters?
So when I'm looking at my characters, I like to try and... I'm a slut for trauma.
Okay, yes, you are. We are fully aware of this, yeah.
Anyone who's talked to me on the server about any of my characters are just like things I invoke on my players when I'm DMing. I love to create any kind of traumatic elements that I can dive myself into.
Consensual, like, for everyone involved.
Consensual, yes. We always talk. We always do the session zero where I'm like, hey, like, shit might get fucked, and this is going to be a very explicit episode. Because I started drinking.
Christian's not drink.
And my drink is half rum.
Yes.
Because I don't pour shit right. Anyway, I'm going to put that over there.
Sorry. Can I just stop you there for 1 minute, Chris? I just need to acknowledge something. Just before you go further.
That I said like 50 ums back and forth.
No. So before we started recording,
are you going to tell me off?
Before we started recording two episodes, Ben explicitly said, before Chris gets here, I just need to have a word with you about something. And I was like,
that's not what happened.
No. Let me speak. This is my episode, Ben. So Ben said to me, Chris, he said, Dave, I just need you to, when we're recording, to stop typing on your keyboard. And what's he just done? Typed on his keyboard during a recording.
Okay.
No, I'm cutting you off there. Chris, please carry on. Please carry on. How are you? You talk about trauma and you spoke to people.
So, like, for an example, when we were trying to put together a Call of Cthulhu game back before work and school got overwhelming for me and I wasn't able to join in.
Yes.
My character concept for that, I was really wanting to deal with the, it was really fun.
Yeah.
I really wanted to dive into the premise of survivor's guilt.
Mm-hmm.
About how my character in that should have been the one who, you know.
Right. We were playing in World War II. That was the setting that we were going to run in.
So I think we had it like my character was kind of the slack off, like not really amounting to anything. Mm-hmm. Whereas his brother was going to be the whole like, great guy, like everyone should aspire to be this guy. And when he was picking up my slack, I don't remember what I had him doing.
No, something happened at sea.
And because I didn't go because I was slacking off or like disappeared with MIA for some reason, he went missing and my character was gonna pretty much dive into this whole big like survivor's guilt spiral. Like it should have been me, it should have been. So I really like to find something that I can resonate with.
Can I kind of
involve myself into, yes.
Did you call him a slack off? A slack off? Is that the word you used? Like, he was going to be a slack off.
He slacks off.
I've never heard that word in my life. Never. I've never heard someone refer to as a slack off.
Really?
Yeah.
That's wild.
I really had to think about what you said. Because it sounds like something else to me that I'm not going to say.
Chakov.
It's the name of a Pokemon.
Do you know that one as well, Dave?
Yeah,
I thought it was going to be an American thing.
No, I've heard that many times. And like Chris said, there is a Pokemon named after it.
But we're not going to start the Pokemon conversation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're not going to get into Pokemon because the entire episode will be Pokemon based.
Okay, well, I lie then. I have heard it. I just didn't realize it was an actual word. I thought it was a made up name.
No. It's fully real. Anyway, Chris, please carry it. Ben interrupted again. I'm surprised he didn't type on his keyboard.
Should I just go? Please.
Ben, no, don't do it.
But when that was so insincere.
Oh, no. Don't go.
I just get mean apparently when I drink rum, so that's fine.
God,
I need to anyway, oh no. Please don't say anything I think you're going to say. Chris, anything else to add from where do you get your inspiration from?
Not really. I'm a bit adamant for mental health and like trying to like kind of empathetic with the situations and things like that. So getting in like a little bit, put myself in someone's shoes or things like that. I really enjoy being able to do.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm a big fan of Greek myth with.
Yes.
We talked about in the first episode of this, me wanting to run the Theros setting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how many Greek myth books, like.
So many. You know,
I have so many. I need to order more because I have a problem.
Yes.
But I haven't even finished the ones I have. But I do like to find little nuggets that I can kind of pull from.
Yeah.
Mental health advocacy, pop culture, history, myth, things like that, that I can kind of like, how can I bring this and adapt it to whatever the situation I'm going to be in?
Nice.
So I have a lot of fun doing that.
Like it.
I'm not going to go. I don't know when this episode's releasing, so I'm not going to go into too many details about secret stuff.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
But there's a project we're working on, and there's a lot of trauma underneath my character that we have yet to explore.
I don't know what you're talking about. Kind
of what are you talking about? Ben, as you're still here.
Hi.
Talk to us about your process, your trauma and process.
Plenty of trauma. It started when I was a wee boy of 7 years old. So finding inspiration for me, like, it can really come from anywhere. And because I'm more of a DM by choice, because I prefer DMing to playing.
Yeah.
I love playing, but I prefer DMing. Mm-hmm. I like to make sure that whatever I'm going to play is something that I'm going to really enjoy. It's something I've not done before. It's different. Mm-hmm. So with Orlo, it was that concept of constantly being like
walking the line, right?
Yeah, walking the line and constantly being tempted to go over to use all the bad stuff and just seeing if he would, which way he would go.
Anakin Skywalkering the line.
there's a joke about how Orlo is Anakin, and when he pledged himself to Vecna, I did play the music from episode 3 when
it was fun.
When he pledges himself to Palpatine, and it was and James laughed, and it was a good joke, and it was good for the most good music for the moment. But his story wasn't inspired by Anakin. That was something that came about afterwards.
No,
they were like,
I was only joking.
How funny. Because I don't think that is Anakin's story really, but we won't get into that. With Glaath, who is my warlock paladin.
Yes.
Who's now level 16 and has
my character's baby daddy.
The patron to your character.
Yeah.
His concept was I went to James and I said, I really want to play good cork pop there. Just topping your drink off.
I am. Topping it off.
Topping it up.
I wish we would have been recording when my bottle.
Oh yeah, it was good.
It was a good pop.
Look at that! I put far too much room. Anyway,
do you want to give it a go? Go on, pop the ball.
Yeah, that was a good one as well.
That was a decent. Anyway, ooh, it's a synthetic cork.
With Claff, I went to James and I said, "I really want to." I said, "You know those like coming of age movies where there's the Jewish character whose dad is the rabbi and he really wants him to like go into the church and be a rabbi, but his son is like, no, I don't want to do that, and he rebels." And it's like it's a film trope,
right?
Like it's a very noughties 90s film trope, and you see it a lot in modern cinema now, but all over the place in different ways. I went to James and said, I want to do that trope of my dad is the head of the church and is the head of the community, and I'm his son, and therefore I'm expected to fill his footsteps.
To rise to the position, yeah.
But I don't want to. And the whole point was, but I want that religious side, but I want it to be a cult.
Yeah.
So his dad was the head of a cult, and he didn't want to be in it, and he was kind of thrust into this world, and where does that take him? And he ends up becoming his own man and fulfilling his destiny in a way. So they're two completely different things.
Yeah.
And they came from different places. Like the class one was from watching old 90s movies, and I was like, that would be a fun character to play. And Orlo's was just the idea of, I've never played a really evil character, or never played a character that's morally grey and been pushed to the edge.
Yeah.
Other times they're inspired by things that I'm like really into at the time. So I'm like, oh, you know what? I want to do a really morally grey character. I want to do someone who's really intelligent. I want to do someone who's really free. My latest concept, and I'm annoyed that I've told everyone this because now I feel like I can't play it, is to play a kind of like characteristics inspired by Rapunzel from Tangled, like that kind of sheltered girl who's never left the tower, but more childish because she's just been born. She's a grown woman, but mentally she's a child because she is a true polymorphed spellbook and she is a sorcerer, and she gets her powers from being a spellbook. And so while you're playing her, the wizard who owned the book is like tracking her down to turn her back into the book.
That's very fun.
That's my next concept.
Fun. I do like that a lot.
Thank Chris has just
given me ideas.
Yeah. So that's I really want to play that at some point, but I feel like if I rock up to a table with that characteristics, everyone's gonna be like, oh, he's playing the character. We all know the secret. So I need to I need to like think of a fun twist on
you
it.
You could rejig it for sure.
Yeah. Make something else of it. But yeah, so my inspirations come from everywhere, from what I'm reading, what I'm watching, what I'm hearing, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
It'd be real interesting if there was some way we could one shot that out.
I don't know what you're talking about. Dave, where do your inspirations come from?
So normally I do two ways. I either start with a build that I like, so like I build a character, whether that's D&D or whatever, and then I flesh out from there. Mm. Or alternatively, I find a piece of art I like and then make the character.
That's fun.
Hmm. Yeah. So Cassius was a build I liked.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wanted, because I came into that game, and everyone was very established there already. Like, everyone's very established in the story. So I wanted to embed him in the world, which is why I chose Kolath to be, like, my patron. And, like, there's that established history there. And Wolfgang was from Baldur's Gate as well. So I wanted that. And I've never played an evil, like, a purely evil character before. And Cassius is a lot of fun to play in that sense.
It's fun to witness as well, because we haven't spoken about this since it happened, and so Chris, you went into it, but yesterday, from when we're recording, I got a message. Well, clearly the players were talking. Like, as a DM, your spider senses tingle, and you know when players are talking, because James messaged me something about his character, and then Ray messaged me something about his character, and I was like, a storm is brewing. And then Ray said something to me about, like, I think Wolfgang's going to try and kill Cassius. And I was like, okay, what's going on? Like, where are we at? And we had a chat about it. And I was like, yeah, cool, fine. I was like, just double check with Dave, he's fine. He's like, I think it's pretty clear he's fine with PvP, because you had made a off screen from the other characters, just so the players saw it. You made a deal with an NPC to, like, kill someone in the party if you needed them to.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, absolutely. But just double check. And then we had a group convo about it, and it was all cool. So it looks like Cassius's evilness is really starting to come into fruition now.
Yeah. The plan is coming to fruition, but I don't see, but this is where I know Wolfgang probably knows Cassius is evil in some way, because Junior, his pseudo dragon, is actually a imp disguised as a pseudo dragon.
Yeah.
Divine Sense will ping that.
Yeah.
It has, for sure. But the issue now is that because he's partially possessed by Wongo, one of the trickster gods, the evilness is pouring out.
The trickster gods in the Tomb of Annihilation are there to... They're a great boon, right? So I'm going to say this without telling you how.
Yeah.
But if you have them with you... At the end of the adventure, in parentheses, they are a massive boon, and they can mean the difference between life and death.
Yeah.
Because this is an audio medium, Ben just did air quotes on camera.
Yeah.
What did I say? Did I say parentheses? I meant to say air quotes, I'm drinking.
It's okay. Don't worry. Carry on.
This is wonderful.
But they are also built to, like, drive a rift between the characters, because there's nine of them, and for eight of them, one of them doesn't have a rival. They all have rivals. Mm-hmm. You've got Wongo.
Yes. Who is chaotic,
brash,
evil.
Evil, impulsive.
Yeah.
And Wolfgang has Moa, who literally cannot lie.
Mm-hmm.
She tells the truth. He tells the truth. There are moments when you have Wongo in your head go. So, for example, you've just found a tomb with a salt circle and a pentagram with a sarcophagus in the middle. And Wongo, his advice, and this was written in the book, because each room you go in, it says, if they have this god, they say this. Not all of them have something to say, obviously, in every room. Wongo's is, break the salt line, let's see what happens. Fuck it.
And Cassius kicked it.
So
right,
you did,
straight out the bat.
Which obviously... And then Ubalaka in one of the other characters' heads goes, risky, get out, leave. So Wesley's like, oh my God, I've got to leave. And then Moa goes, I don't trust him. He's an asshole. That one go, look what he's done. He's brash. He's trying to better himself. And so there's already this divide between you and Wolfgang and it's being made worse by the gods. And I love it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, someone's going to die. Cassius may escape. We'll see.
We'll have to wait and see. Okay, I have a question for both of you. You've got your inspiration, right? You've got your initial thing, whether it be the painting or a song or whatever.
How do you
take my therapy sessions? How do you take that inspiration and make it a character that's not something standard that's been done before,
right?
Or just take it and make it into a full-fledged character? Like, what's your process?
Very interesting. Do you want me to go, Chris, or do you want to
go for it? I gotta rack my brain.
Okay. So, once I've... It's gonna sound really cheesy. especially when I'm using art, like, I think you get a vibe from artwork, right? So you can feel that person's energy almost from that. The same way as if you meet someone, you can kind of like get a first impression, right? Then I try and channel that into a backstory. Whether that's, so for Cassius, I said I want to play an evil character. And I think I listen to a lot of true crime anyway. So I know psychopaths quite well.
What a sentence, everybody.
So I use a lot of things like con artists. I listen to a lot of stuff about con artists, and a lot of people, this is going to sound awful, in like where they like kill their families because of money, because they don't want their secret coming out and stuff like that. Family annihilators. So just to get a feel of what that person would be like to play, which is a very dark place to put yourself in. But it also, because it's so different to me, like I am very not a psychopath, and I'm very
just
not
just want to
like
go
that
on the record and say you're not for your family.
Please.
You're not a psychopath.
Yeah, like not at all. You know me, Ben, I'm not like that. Say anything, I'll kill you.
I'm not being at my gunpoint, it's fine.
No, not at all.
Stay tuned for that Netflix special.
But anyway, I enjoy putting myself in uncomfortable shoes, I think.
Yeah, okay. And what, that just helps you make it something more than...
Yeah, like if I'm doing something, I like to be completely different each time.
Yeah.
I make a character, otherwise I get bored easy.
Mm-hmm.
So with Ivan, I wanted to try a new accent for one, which is interesting because I'm really like not that big into accents, but I gave it a go.
I really rate it though. You've got it down. It's good. Yeah.
Good. Thank you. So it's like an English and Russian accent mixed into one.
I always say with a D&D accent, it doesn't have to be good. Like if someone says to me, hey Ben, do an Australian accent, I can't do one.
Right.
Like I can maybe say one word that might sound Australian and that's it, but I can't do an accent. Whereas if I said, oh, I'm going to play a character that has kind of an Australian accent, it doesn't have to sound Australian. It just has to sound different.
Exactly.
Anyone can do bad.
Australia is not a real place in D&D, so you know, fuck you guys.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Exactly. So I chose Ivan, and I went. So the fun thing is as well. So here's a fun fact about Ivan. I designed him off a mini that I found for him.
Yes, I've seen that mini.
Yeah, and I built the, because he's a barbarian and fighter. He's a rune fighter and a totem barbarian.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I use, so the thematics of it all, the flavored of it, is that he has like these trophies from his kills. He's like a massive, like he's like a hunter almost for like monsters, and he collects all these trophies, and like he's got a skull on his arm that's like embedded in his flesh, and that like powers his abilities. All these like creatures, body parts. Yeah. Super fun.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. It's cool stuff.
Yeah.
What about you, Chris?
I want to start this by saying, I'm like, the groups I've played with before, like, obviously now that I'm part of Dave's games and things like that, it's a much better group than I'm used to playing with in the nicest way possible. Because the groups I used to play with, no, they don't listen to this show. I've tried to get them and they're not working. But they are not much on the whole, like, super, like, they'll do a little bit of role play, they'll do, but like accents, things like that isn't really there. Their characters, which there's nothing wrong with doing, you know, a character is being like just a slight variation than your own, like, normal self.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are all still relatively new to playing D&D and everything like that. Yeah. So I'm not going to say, like, hey, you should just dive right in the deep end and be like the polar opposite of what you're used to. It's terrible advice.
Mm-hmm. That's what I just said.
I'm definitely all for, obviously, as I just said, like, I like to put myself through the traumatic situations, just kind of get that feeling. And
just to feel something at all.
Just to feel something at all. Just to feel. but I'm still trying to get more into the role play accent-y kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I do like to dive into the whole traumatic and try and embody what my character has gone through.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways I do that is if I have the time allotted between then, I like to work with the DM and see, like, hey, like, here's the idea I have for the backstory. Like, how can we fit this into the world? And if it doesn't, like, what changes can I make, and try and work with them until like it's relatively seamless going to the world.
Yeah.
Chris,
I have a question for you on that subject. How's the trauma coming in Icewind Dale campaign then?
It's coming, and I'm sure it's going to hit like a bus in the next few sessions from the things you've set up.
So far you've had one friend die.
Oh,
you set that up for me nicely. You were like, oh, so I had two childhood friends. I'm like, yeah, no problem. I've got the two perfect characters for them. Here's two NPCs you're going to fight.
I just want to take it a little tangent here really quick, right? So Dave messaged me after this game and said how much he likes when I'm in his games because he can screw with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always, hey, here's like the sensible thing to do. I see that pathway. But Dave and I are very similar in the way we DM. So I'm like, or I can traumatize myself and traumatize everyone else in the party and go that way. Yeah. And I always choose the other way because spice.
Sure.
You're playing for a crowd, aren't you?
Yeah, right, exactly. I think that's a trait that people who DM take into their characters as well.
Oh, yeah. Yes. 100%. Yeah. I do that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
But yeah, just being able to like kind of put myself in the shoes and body, like, to work with the DM, like, hey, here's my like rough idea for a backstory. Like, how can we fit it in?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to have like, oh, it needs, this is my entire backstory. It's ironclad and needs to happen this way.
Right.
Cause then it just doesn't really mesh too well, in my opinion, depending on the setting the DM's running in, if it's not able to conform.
Yeah. Definitely.
Like, hey, my system, my setting I'm building works this way. And then if I have a backstory that goes against how it works, doesn't really work out too well. So I think just that DM player communication is a big part.
Massive. Like, play to your, like you said, speak to your DM. Look up the setting. I think it's like, I always think it's crucial to read up on what you're playing in.
Yes. If you're doing an established setting with it has a guide. Well, if you're I'm a big advocate for homebrew settings. But because I haven't spent much time in Faerun or Eberron, I've always done my stuff homebrew.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm slowly learning Eberron through our games, Faerun's little by little, but I've always been like, oh, I'll just make a setting and like, we'll go from there. And then it just becomes so many factors in my head. And I'm just like, I don't know what's happening. But but we've talked a little bit of how I run settings and things like that. I believe in the first episode where I kind of the last campaign that died off. And we'll talk about that in a future episode, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely.
I pretty much sandbox my players in. I'm going to switch to DM mode over here. They gave me, 2 out of 3 of them gave me like rough like ideas, like cliff notes, or like bullet points for their backstories they wanted. Like, oh, I'm thinking A, B, and C. And then I did individual one-on-one sessions for like half hour, where we played through a portion of their backstory and got them all to meet up where I wanted them to start at the campaign.
Right?
I did that once. I had a player who wasn't feeling... They'd been playing their character for a while. They were not feeling super connected to their character, and they wanted to... They also were like, I just want to play some D&D. Like, D&D's cancelled. I want to play some D&D. I want to feel more connected. Can we do something from when she was young? And I was like now? They were like, yeah, like right now. And I was like,
right this second.
Shit. Okay. Let me just pull a 2-hour adventure out of my arsehole. And it was a bit of a push, but I managed it. And I've never done it again. And I don't know if I like it or not.
I think there's you like structure. You like to be structured, I think.
Not it wasn't.
And that's like, not in a negative way. Like
no, it wasn't. It wasn't the pulling it out of thin air and like making it happen. It was something about like making something concrete because it was played. Like, I like the idea that when you've got your character and you've got your backstory, like my backstory is my character's. Obviously, I have a big idea, big picture of what it is, and I go take that into the game with me every time, and it fuels what I'm doing. And what I'm saying. And then as the game develops and is played, bits of that come out. And there is inevitably, if you're playing a long campaign, a point where you have kind of said everything. But no matter who you are, no matter if you are a professional D&D character maker player, you're not going to have a full life to take into a game, right? And that leaves areas, that leaves spots for you to, when you're level 14, to go, oh, yeah, but, you know, it was probably because of that friend that died in front of me. Because you've been thinking for the last 3 days, oh, I want a little bit more extra trauma. I could probably put some in. And then you go to your DM and you go, hey, I'm gonna slightly add something to my backstory. And they go, yeah, cool. And then you can bring it out. The idea of playing the backstory makes it feel... concrete,
yeah, like the Corpse Wars, right? I mean, yeah, you know.
The Corpse Wars. One day we're gonna have to show those, you know, truly how awful they were because people don't understand.
Ben, if we ever run the Corpse Wars, can I run that game, please?
Done, deal.
Yeah, deal.
100%. I don't know. No one else knows what the Corpse Wars are yet, but
no,
give it time.
It's coming.
Oh, God. So much like inevitable death, it marches slowly towards us.
Like the Corpse Wars.
Like the Corpse Wars. But what I'm saying is playing the backstory makes me feel like that it takes the tangibility away from, you know, just a written one. I don't know.
So, I like that.
It depends on who you are.
Yeah.
Here is how I did it. One of the players I had backstory wise was brought back to like was murdered, brought back to life by the Raven Queen like centuries later. Right. So he was dead and gone. And then pretty much he was like the Raven Queen chosen coming back. And what I did for his one-on-one was kind of a rebuilding like who he was. He didn't really remember anything from before him being reincarnated by the Raven Queen, but we focused on his time in like the Raven Queen's kingdom and then him like getting back up because we were building to level 5 to start.
Yeah.
So it was like, we went over like how he spent his time, his training, things like that, like what his mission was going to be as he went forward and like why, what was the reason he was brought back? And long story short, it had something to do with like the mists of Ravenloft and vampires and some shit.
Things.
A lot of fun. Campaign died right before the climax of his story. I felt so bad about it. Like literally the next session that we would have done would have been his climactic fight. And I was so upset that we couldn't do it. And then the other character who I've told you about him, who I pretty much, when I did a dream sequence, connected him to the BBEG. Made him play through his entire backstory and relive trauma in a dream. Great time. But going through his, I time jumped a lot.
Right.
So I left the door open. Like I introduced certain characters and things like that, but I left the door open because like here, like.
I feel like it's different as a DM though as well, because like when Wolfgang Ray in TOA met with, a remnant of Ubtal, he had to walk the maze of his life, which will mean something to you if you know who Ubtal is. And in that, he I said I kind of got a big rundown, a more deep rundown of his backstory, and I picked scenes from it that I wanted to revisit with him, but they were scenes that he had, he already knew existed. They weren't new things. So that was fun because it was old Wolfgang walking through those moments of his life with this figure.
I was there for that session. I feel like I was. I feel like that was the...
It was the end of Wolfgang's solo.
I'm sure I was there for that session. Or I listened to the recording, possibly.
Maybe. But it was fun to go back through the backstory and play it out, but as people watching it and seeing it happen.
Yeah.
Rather than, actually playing it as he was a child. Because it gave him new perspective.
Yeah. That's super fun. I love that.
Yeah, just chipping in.
No, I'm going to ask you one more thing, Ben.
Okay.
Can you ring that bell, please?
Hang on, let me just reach over here. Off. Let me reach up to the old bell and just give it a
watch that glass. Watch that glass.
Oh, there we go. The bell's being rung.
Okay.
What does that mean again?
We are going to wrap things up because...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is going to be our...
The rum has just hit me.
it hit me about half hour ago.
Yes, we're aware. So I'm going to ask each of you what your top three tips are for making a character.
Oh my God, are we on a mainline We Speak Common show? We're giving tips here.
I'm just
being friendly. Just being kind. No, I'm fine.
Maybe. I mean, I can just wrap it up if you want and I'll just
tell them. Let's do it. I like it. Let's do it. Chris, what are your top three tips? You go first.
I really work with your DM. Mm-hmm. If we're looking at a player character, you're building your player If you're building your player character, work with your DM. If you have an idea for a backstory, kind of hand in hand, figure out how you can fit that in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I think Dave touched on it a lot. Take a step out of your comfort zone. And then as you get more comfortable, you can expand a little bit more. But just taking that one little step, you don't have to do an intense accent voice. No. Australia doesn't exist in Faerun.
No.
You're fine.
French and Russian does though, because now it's there now.
The drow are French in my world.
Really?
Yeah, the drow have a French accent.
Well, so are the Goliaths now.
That's a tangent for another episode, guys.
That's why Wesley speaks with a French accent when he plays as Emre.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That tracks.
There you go.
And I think the last tip I have is just kind of do what you can to embody your character. Find one thing that you can resonate with your character on.
I like that.
Because if your character is a complete opposite of yourself that you can't relate to.
Need to have some things in there,
you
right?
You need to have a touchstone. So I don't want to say it's not impossible to play a completely different type of person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'd just like to say that my character with Cassius is my ambition. It's not the sociopathic tendencies.
Sorry, hang on. It's your ambition to lie to everyone.
No. Just to clarify things, I'd just like to make a formal statement here on...
Okay, great. I think he doth protest too much.
But yeah, just finding that touchstone, work with your DM, and then whatever the second thing I said was.
Great. Thanks, Chris. Ben?
What was the question?
How much have you had to drink tonight?
I've had two cocktails.
Great.
I've not eaten a lot. I had a sandwich for lunch and that was it.
Okay. Okay. The actual question was, what are your top three tips for creating a fleshed out character?
Creating a fleshed out character. Yeah, because that's the wording I needed. Okay. So my first tip would be find the key, which is the thing you take from your inspiration, key concept that you love. Make sure you love it and then twist it. So get that key, put it in the lock, make sure it works, and then give it a good twist to unlock the idea. That was quite a good analogy.
I enjoyed that. No, I enjoyed that. That was a good
one. We should drink more. The rum's working. Tip two is when you're building that character, so you've got your idea and you're going, okay, so here's the concept. What do they look like? What do they sound like? Where do they go? Where have they been? What's their backstory? All that. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from? Cotton Eye Joe. When you're doing all of that,
Interesting.
You should ask the difficult questions and go the ways you wouldn't normally go.
Yes.
So not because there you should make something you can't play or something that you wouldn't normally play.
Absolutely not.
But because they'll lead you to places that you wouldn't normally go to, and then those will develop the idea. So as an example, because I think that was slightly around the bushes in an explanation.
Around the bushes.
Yeah. Around the hedges or whatever the phrase is.
Be around the bush.
Sure. Let's say you are playing... Let's say you're playing a wizard, right? And you... I always play wizards. And you played a wizard before, and that last wizard wanted to be the Black Staff's apprentice, Halakiro. And
Charles James.
Yeah. They you know, they were the goodest of good, and when you built them, your inspirations were the likes of Gandalf and Elminster and all that, right?
Yeah.
This time when you build a wizard, you go, okay, well... I want them to be all about power. Cool.
Right.
I want them to be a little bit dark. What if I use my inspiration as Saruman? Okay, cool. And I want them to...
Saruman's a cleric.
What?
Sorry, we're not getting into it. No. We're not getting
into it. Did I say
it wrong? No, I'm saying the Lord of the Rings wizards are more like clerics.
Shut up. Gandalf is a fighter with two levels of wisdom.
Guys, we're 40 minutes into this episode. Okay, we don't have time for a tangent like this.
Anyway. Second tip is go those different routes. So instead of going go the good way, the right, play with it and go the other way. See what that's like. See what it feels like. Roll with it. Take it. Adapt it. Use it. And then take bits from it. If you don't want to play an evil character, take little traits of that character.
Right.
And then my third tip is get to know them really well. And I've said this before, and I will die on this hill. You should be able to make decisions for that character like that.
You should
know them.
Yeah.
So. Write down all their flaws, write down all their interests, write down their first love and their heartbreak, you know, get in their head, have conversations with your character on your own. It sounds really stupid and like we're massive loners, but when you're at home, look, I live on my own. Sometimes I talk to myself all the time. Why not talk to Orlo for a little bit? You know, like
I do in the car, right? On the way to work, right?
I used to drive for a living and I would do it when I was driving. Like spend time with the character as you're building them, get to know them, ask some questions, and do that as you play as well outside the game. Spend time with the character outside the game. So get the key, put it in the lock and twist it. Take the routes you wouldn't normally take when you're building a character and take bits from that if you don't follow it completely and spend time with your character as you're building them and outside the game and have conversations with them. There you go. There's my three.
I like it.
Thank you.
My three, I would say, is embed yourself in the world you're playing in. Look up lore. If you don't know the lore, ask the DM. Second thing was, I will just say what Ben said is not necessarily having to talk to yourself, but invest the time into your character. Whether that's like, you know me, Ben, I make full character documents like with fancy things and just like invest the time into it so you fall in love with that character. and the other one is don't go too crazy, but go outside the box. Like, I mean, we've all said the similar thing, right? Like, people can go too crazy. It's like, I want to play a spade. And he's like, why?
like, some people, they want to play a spell book that's been too
polymorphic. I mean, what dickhead would do that? no, but that's a good example, Ben. Like, you don't want to just play a spell book. You want to play a character that used to be a spell book. That's the difference, right?
That's the twist, yeah.
Yeah. So that's mine. I'm going to be short and sweet. I'm not going to waffle on like you two. Thank you for everyone for listening.
Thank you so much. Let us know in the episode discussion in the Discord server, open to everybody, what your tips, tricks to creating an inspiration for characters is. I think that's a big thing we should talk
about. Please do. Yeah.
We'd love to hear. We love to hear from our community. We love to hear new ideas, get new perspectives, all that jazz.
Yeah. Guys, thanks for having me in the tavern. It's been really nice.
Thanks for
these
coming in.
Past two chats. I don't have a way home tonight. Is there a room I can get? Like, is there?
There's the stables. The cow may shit on you though.
It's snowing outside.
And well, the cow shit's warm.
That is true.
That's a luxury.
You could fully go Luke Skywalker and chop it open and live inside it. So you know, sure.
We will charge you though.
Okay.
We will. All right. That is classed as board. I have room and board, yeah.
I will go and get to know
you. Enjoy.
Cow. Great, thank you.
Bye. Enjoy. Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye. See you later. Bye.
Dice Dungeon is your UK-based provider for all things Dungeons & Dragons. Fuel your Dice Goblin addiction with premium sets of D&D dice made from glass, metal, or resin. Grab the latest adventure or expansion in beautiful limited edition covers, and protect your collection with dice scrolls, rolling trays, and the Vault of Storage. Check out the growing collection now and get 10% off your entire order with the code WESPEAKCOMMON at checkout. Run your best adventure with less prep and more immersion with Describe, spelled D-S-C-R-Y-B, Describe. Offers thousands of scenes written by professional creative writers to paint the picture of your world, whether it's monsters, spells, dialogue, or more. Dive into Describe's sonic library, uncover a lost map, or search through their scenes written for players to read during combat. With four plans available, Describe couldn't be more accessible. Visit Describe.com, that's D-S-C-R-Y-B.com, and use code COMMON at checkout to save 10% each month on your subscription.
Listening to the We Speak Common podcast network. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to leave a review on your platform of choice and share us with a friend or D&D group near you. If you'd like to directly support the network and the production of new shows like the one you heard today, head to the description of this episode or our social media pages for a link to our Patreon page. You can connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at We Speak Common.